Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. We thank you for a perfect plan. We thank you for a sovereign God that is perfectly able with all power to cause that plan to be successful. And Father, we thank you for this word that you have given to us and for the encouragement that it is as the Holy Spirit makes it come alive for us, Father, and allows us to apply it in our own lives. And so, Father, we ask that as we go to your word that you would cause us to be edified, that we would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask in his name. Amen. We're in the fourth chapter of Philippians, and I'm going to read from verse 10 and come down to verse 12. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, Paul says, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. Now, verse 12. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Well, let's start here in verse 10. It's interesting, you know, when you look at the literal, what the Greek says literally here, the words literally, as this 10th verse, as this 12th verse opens, are these. I know how to be humbled. New American Standard says, I know how to get along with humble means. Which is stronger to you? Humble me, I can maybe adjust to humble means, but I don't want to be humbled. You know, in my own nature, I don't want to be humbled. And yet, literally, Paul says, I know how to be humbled. Okay? That's really important. That's something that if we're going to, as believers, desire to be all that God wants us to be, what are we going to have to learn? We're going to have to learn how and know how to be humbled. Okay? All right? Hope just we'll be coming back often to the fourth chapter of Philippians, but turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Familiar verse. Remember this, that the book of 1 Peter is about suffering for Jesus Christ. What does that suffering do? Look back at the time of the early church. People yanked right out of their homes, put in prison because they wouldn't show allegiance to Caesar. Some of them being put to death. Some of them under Nero being burned at the stake. Those are what? As soon as you fall under the dominion of an evil person or persons or government, that's what? Is that not humbling? So here we have in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, it says this, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. So this speaks of that in the midst of all this suffering that Peter is addressing, Holy Spirit is addressing. There's something else that should be going on here. Well, understand, listen. Let's say there was a terrible persecution that breaks out this afternoon against believers in Tillamook County. And some of us are killed and we're separated from our families. This has been the reality of many people down through church history. Okay. What do you do with that in your head? It's your wife that's lost, your husband that's lost, your family that's been torn apart, it's whatever. Are you going to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Do you see that? Or are you going to be bitter? Are you going to be upset? Are you going to? How could God ever allow this to happen to me? This is a huge thing. Okay. Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, Moses talking about the 40 years in the wilderness says, "Then he humbled you." Remember that? Because he let him be what? Hungry. And then he fed him manna, which they didn't know, and they didn't have it in their history. Okay. And they were subjected to, that's all you got, basically, except for the quail. But you know what they wanted the leeks and the onions and the melons and the things of the past, and God says he humbled them. So back to Philippians 4, Paul says, I know how to be humbled. It's an interesting question. How do we learn this? Well, further down in this verse, we read this. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. And you know what? I'm convinced of this. We think because we have prosperity, we know how to live in it. But I don't think we do. It's not just talking about that you have stay alive in prosperity. It's talking about whether or not you living in prosperity have done it the way Paul learned to do it. You get the difference? Anybody can live in prosperity, I would think. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Doing these things, being humbled or living in prosperity, doing them God's way. That's a whole different ball game. So we think, well, we live in America, and so we know how to live in prosperity. Well, we know how to spend money and have money, and we know how to do all that. But do we know how to do these things God's way? Okay. That's what Paul's talking about. All right. But the next thing he says there in the 12th verse is this. In any... I just can't get over these words. In any and every circumstance. How many of those you have this past week? How many anys and how many everys? I mean, it's God, the Holy Spirit is saying here, in every single detail of life, is he not? And this becomes the key to learning how to be humbled and how to live in prosperity. Let's see if I can. Some of us like to think like this. I know I have. When the time comes, I'll be ready to die for Christ. And then this thing pops up. Will I? Here's the fallacy of that kind of thinking. There's no training involved. It's just when the big one comes, I'll step up to the plate and I'll do what needs to be done, I hope. This verse, I'm convinced, is detailing for us with the in any and in every, that's the training for the big one. And there's no way, in my estimation, that somehow this ungodly, I don't want to use that word, but maybe I have, this ungodly believer is going to live his life totally messing up in every and in any. And then when it comes time to step up and die for the cause of Christ, if God calls him to do that, so to speak, that he's going to do it. Because he can't even do the little, tiny things of everyday life. He's still losing his temper because the cereal's not hot, you know, or cold, or whatever, you know what I mean? He's still having all these problems with minutiae. I just read this, I think it was in the Crossworld thing. I should have brought it, but this president of Crossworld, it's a mission organization. He started off describing what happens on Black Friday. He said, people pushing, shoving, punching, even in some places guns are drawn and all kinds of things go on. Because, he put it something like this, because this person's got to have the new earbuds. And then he says, goes through all that, and he says, and then he says, I have the report of these people, tears running down their faces because they weren't there quick enough to get this Bible, these Bibles that were being passed out. He said, when has there been a tear shed in the West over not having a Bible? You know, he goes on to say, my wife and I got 12 of them, and we could have double that anytime we want, and we treat it like, oh, well. I thought, well, that's, I read it to Wynn, that's powerful. That's, how sick are we if this is what's motivating us, what drives us, okay? Well, how, like I was just trying to say, how do we make this change from the selfish, how do we get ready? We'll get ready by the little things. Let me take you over to Luke chapter 16, verse 10. This, I can remember coming across this a long time ago in my life and not really liking it. But it is the thrust of the word. This is in the context of riches and so forth. We're going to apply it to our whole lives. And it says this, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. That's God speaking the truth, and he's making a connection between what? The little and the big. Not this pie in the sky stuff where, well, I don't worry about the little, but I hope when the big comes, I'll do it right. Well, the Lord is saying, listen, to be prepared for the big thing, you have to day by day by day be by His Spirit doing the little things. And so, do you see that? This makes, I love this concept, this truth, that this makes your everyday life a training ground for what's really important. And so the things that we just want to brush aside and say, what is that in my way for? It's for training. We all understand God, by His power, could remove every single bump in your road. He could make your life that, you know, just a total piece of cake. Just a cakewalk. You just have no problem at all. Everything's fine, wonderful. And here's the interesting thing. He has not done that. Paul says, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. What a, through many tribulations. And in contrast to that, I just shudder at the things that are being taught today that somehow everybody should have a cakewalk. You should have perfect health. You should have prosperity. Everything should be wonderful. You have that. It's your right as a believer. And the Lord says, I believe what he's saying here in his word is, no, I'm using this time to train you. That's what these hard things are about. That's what the little things that are about that we struggle with and fail with so often. Okay. All right. So, Lord says, verse 10, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. You think about the power of that. Who's going to... I hate the term a white lie. It's like there's good lies and there's bad lies. Okay. Satan's the father of lies. We do not lie. That doesn't mean that you have to express everything that you know. But it means that when you do speak, you speak the truth. I think about how there's this thing that goes on. I see it from time to time where people are not being honest about a person's condition. I think that's totally of Satan. You know what I mean? I want that person, I want me, I want to know exactly what you... If I got 3 days to live, Doc, I want to know. And for the unbeliever, I want him to know. So that he's not thinking that everything's going to get better and I'm going to be fine. And he's not dealing with the questions of his eternal destiny and so forth. And I believe it's absolutely of Satan. And I've been in situations where people basically didn't want me even near the person because they didn't want me to ruin this person's day, so to speak, with the truth. Was that loving? To let an unbeliever slip off into a Christless eternity so that they were pleased with what was going on or with the potential for what was going on in their last few moments? Is that... Well, okay. So, there's two other things that are very much prevalent in the book of Philippians that I think absolutely come abreast of this concept of learning to be humbled and learning to live godly in prosperity. And they're common, they're things we talk about. Let's start in Matthew 11:29. By the way, this verse is just to point out to us, as you learn to be humbled by any and every circumstance coming in your understanding from the hand of the God who loves you and is training you, okay? As you learn to do that, who are you becoming like? God's plan for us is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what the Lord says about himself here. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. The interesting thing is the contrast. If you're not walking with the Lord, then in any and every circumstance, there's a potential for what? Tremendous lack of rest. This happens to me, I don't know, but do you ever have, some little thing comes into your life and you were just planning your day and it was going to go this way and now all of a sudden it's not, and you're just bent out of shape about it. You know what I mean? And are you at rest? You will find, the Lord said, learn, and you will, the only place to have rest is to accept God's will for your life. And as Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He doesn't say, humble yourself under the hand of this dictator. He wants you to go beyond that and look higher, lift your eyes off this present life and look up into who is God and what is he doing, who's working all things together for good in my life, Who decides that? He never asked me. Have you ever been asked by God to lay out what should happen in your life? He doesn't give us that option because we couldn't do it. Okay? And if we did do it, it'd be wrong. All right. So, and then I think of Philippians 2 where it says, speaking of Christ, and he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Okay. But the matchless Son of God, was he faithful in the little things? Oh boy. You know, in the everyday things, in responding to his disciples who so often were off the wall. Everything he did, day in and day out, perfectly in any and every circumstance. So we see that as God trains us through these things, he's making us like Christ. Okay. Now this, I understand, if you're not a believer, this makes absolutely no sense to you whatsoever. You know, but if you're a believer and you want to be what God wants you to be, then this is of utmost importance. Because, you know, it's like I said, if you're not, if what the Word says, if you're not faithful in the little things, you will not be faithful in the big things. Okay. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Here's one of those other threads that just comes in and helps us to know that we're doing this. To me, this is the test. For the little things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Is that talking about little things? Absolutely it is. That's my training. And I can tell right away, if I'm asking God to remind me of these things, I can tell right away whether this training is being received by me correctly or not, by whether I'm thankful. In any and every... Where do you start trying this? It'll shake your day up. We're nasty people. And we have nasty reactions to the things that God is bringing into our life. I don't mean every time, but we have nasty reactions often to just a turn in the road that we didn't want. Okay. And yet, to understand that those things are there by the hand of the God who loves me and wants to make me like Jesus Christ. Am I desiring him to do that? You know, remember, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it's God who is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And my question has always been, how does he do that work? What is that work? Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe it's through the circumstances he brings to us by the Holy Spirit that he works these things. Paul's saying, I've learned how to do this. By the way, I was going to tell you, there's a word there. He says, I'll read that again. I have learned, last part of the verse, verse 12 in Philippians 4. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. That's an interesting word. It means I've been initiated. I've been instructed. Here's my favorite one. I've been disciplined in a practical lesson. What's the practical lesson? In anything and everything. In any circumstance and in every circumstance. That's where you get these things. Okay. You know, I've said this before, but I used to think of, you know, Hebrews 12, where it's talking about God's discipline of us, that all that meant was, when I mess up, I get a licking. And yet you come to find out that really foundational to the word discipline is the whole concept of training. And then you look and you start to say, well, even those little things that are going awry in my life, is that not God training me? I mean, isn't that the intent of it? Isn't that in any and every circumstance? All right, then Ephesians chapter 5. Again, how can we separate this from what we're talking about this morning? Verse 20, Ephesians 5:20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. What is that? It's a recognition of, I have a God who loves me. I have a God who's training me. And there are no circumstances in my life apart from Him causing them to be there. In other words, allowing them to be there. The dice came up on the wrong side. Okay, this is not by chance. This is by His design. And so my hostility toward the event is really what? It's hostility toward Him. Do you know what I mean? It's, if I am having all kinds of trouble with this and I'm mad and I'm just out of sorts, I'm really saying, Lord, I don't like your plan at all. I'm in rebellion against it. Instead of saying, He loves me, this is training. Remember, I may be called on, and I'm going to be called on in some things that are huge. What's my preparation? Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Okay, but then there's another aspect of this, and we'll close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll go verses 16 through 18. I love this verse, or these verses. These are good verses for everybody, but also really for old people. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, see that? This is the wearing out of the body. Though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Another aspect of what God is doing for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Now get this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Why? For the things which are seen are temporal, having to do with time, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here we go. So here I am in my temporal event right now that is got me upset. What am I looking at? Not at the unseen. The unseen things would say to me what? Don't forget, the Lord loves you. He's using this to train you. This is a great thing. In everything, give thanks. Lord, I thank you for this. I don't know how you're going to use it, but I know you are. Okay? Then add one more thing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So, start to see this thread in any circumstance, in every circumstance. Rejoice in the Lord always. You see how all that fits? It's talking about every single second of your life is worthy of rejoicing in the Lord, giving thanks, no matter what the circumstances are. And it's living by that understanding and wanting that training that causes you to not only handle the adversity correctly, but also handle the prosperity correctly. See, that to me, what happens with the prosperity is we just check out. You know, adversity oftentimes drives us to the Lord, but the prosperity, we just, well, I don't have any need to pray today. There's nothing bad on my horizon. And I'll be back when they're, instead of relating every single event and circumstance to the one who loves you and trains you. Okay. Father, how we thank you for your word and how we thank you for your work in us and how you are conforming us through this work to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is humble. And Father, may we learn, really learn, Father. May we be initiated into it and learn that practical lesson of being humbled and of being in prosperity, so that in either one we please you in our response. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.